Dr. Chambers, many CRNAs worry about a report being filed to the National Practitioner Data Bank. What are the biggest misconceptions about NPDB reports and their impact on a clinician's career?
Well, I think the biggest misconceptions are that everyone who's been reported to the National Practitioner Data Bank is a bad person, and they're obviously guilty of whatever they've been reported for. Not all reports are 100% accurate, and it would really be up to the provider to contact the entity that created the report to perhaps protest that and perhaps request that the report be corrected. A lot of practitioners don't understand that there's many mandated reportable events, so reports have to occur in some instances. But the provider would probably be best served at finding out what's in a report that pertains to them so that they can decide for themselves if they need to contact the reporting entity to perhaps get that corrected. I'd say that's probably the biggest misconception or biggest piece of information that I think is important for providers to know.
Do you have any personal experience or know of anybody that has any personal experience with how this report or a report to the bank impacted their career?
I can think of an instance where an advanced practice nurse did not know that a report had been made about them until they were applying for credentials at their next place of work. Credentialing bodies have an obligation to consult the National Practitioner Data Bank when they're reviewing new credentialing packets. And that is how the credentialing entity found out about the report. And that's also the first time the provider knew that they were in the data bank. The issue was one of dispute. And for this particular provider, they were an advanced practice nurse, and there was a course of care that they didn't agree with. And there was some conflict at the facility. And since the provider was planning to relocate, they decided to resign their credentials and leave. Well, in their particular circumstances, the facility decided to report the provider to the National Practitioner Data Bank, in addition to their Board of Nursing, regarding various different allegations regarding care given. When the provider, from their perspective, resigned their credentials, so they left that employment, and to them, they weren't obligated to provide care. So that's a very complicated set of facts, but perhaps that rings true to someone out there. So that's another reason. That's another reason for why it's really important to know about any reports regarding your own practice. And if there's something that's erroneous there, it's really smart to contact the reporting entity to maybe discuss what you think is erroneous, because only the entity that's made the report can change a report.
Understood. Thank you for that additional clarity. Moving on, faculty guidelines can vary widely across hospital systems. So how should CRNAs approach those differences to protect both their patients and themselves?
With there being so much different in facility guidelines, it's really important to know the guidelines, the standards of practice or SOPs, and also the medical staff bylaws for any facility where you're going to practice. Even across a single system, healthcare system, there may be different guidelines for various facilities or even various departments within a healthcare system. So it is really important to find out the specific guidelines that apply to the specific setting that you're working in. You cannot take for granted that across different facilities, the guidelines are going to be the same. It would be terrible to find out that they're not because you had a misunderstanding regarding something that was valid in one setting that's not valid in another setting. So it's really important to make yourself aware of those things for whatever setting you're going to be practicing in.
Great. We do have some extra time. So Dr. Chambers, if you're okay with us diverting a little bit, I know we were talking about risk management strategies a little bit from your recent presentation. Is there anything that stands out that you'd like to discuss since we do have some extra time? It's up to you. We don't have to, but I just figured I'd throw it out there.
Well, risk management is pretty broad. Risk management in regards to something in particular?
I would say if there was usually when our claims team does presentations, they have a couple of takeaways, like on a final slide where it's summarizing the case data. If you have a summary slide or have anything that comes to mind, I was just looking for general terms of what are, you know, two of the most important risk management strategies for practicing CRNAs, or if we want to talk a little bit about something that we see occur regularly in claims and, you know, the risk management strategy to overcome that.
Sure. Well, one thing that I really try to hammer home whenever I talk about risk management for CRNAs is understanding the difference between standards of care and standards of practice. Those terms are often used interchangeably when there is a nuanced difference there. Knowing the standards of practice, those are put out by our member organization, the AANA. And those are practices that are expected by any CRNA in every setting that we practice. Even though we do different types of practices, our practice can vary from an outpatient GI clinic to heart transplant, liver transplant, or trauma surgery. Standards of practice are expected across settings. So that's things like pre-operative interview and assessment, or taking vitals a minimum of every 5 minutes. Certain things are expected across settings. Now, that's different from standards of care, which might vary based on a fact situation and the resources available. My classic example being the resources available to you in a level one trauma center for, say, heart attack or stroke victim. That's going to be quite different from what's available to you in a critical access hospital. So the things that are expected of you as a responding member of a code team to the trauma bay, it's going to be a little different than what's expected of you working in a critical access hospital with limited resources. So it's important to understand the differences between standard of practice and standard of care, and making sure that you know what's expected of you in your setting, which establishes the standard of care in that setting.
So as a member of TDC Group's APC Advisory Board, how do you see the company supporting practicing CRNAs and mitigating risks and strengthening safer care?
Things that are most important to practicing CRNAs is having a product that reflects the changes in their practice. CRNAs are graduating with doctorate degrees now. But before we changed from master's degrees to doctorate degrees, CRNAs were continually expanding their knowledge and honing the specific things that they could do within their practice. Perfect example, non-surgical pain management post-certification credential, and pediatric care. And there are also CRNAs with advanced education in cardiac anesthesia. So things that specifically pertain to the expanding and deepening of the knowledge of that doctorally prepared CRNA, that would be really, really valuable. You want to have a liability product that reflects the CRNA who is practicing in a setting where perhaps they own or a partner in a group that has a wide breadth of services. That's going to look a little different than the product that works for CRNA, who's part of a hospital group in a university setting where there's many different anesthesia providers and they all kind of share and care and responsibility. That's going to be a different product that those providers need. But it's relevant because the practice is so varied. There is definitely not a vanilla one size fits all for the liability products for CRNA. So I think having things available that reflect those differences in practice would be essential.
So we do want to talk a little bit about the benefits of working with TDC groups so that we do have that. So what has been your experience working on our board and how do you see the organization supporting CRNAs in current practice?
One of the things that I find to be a benefit is the value added that TDC can provide in terms of risk mitigation for providers who have TDC insurance. Things like continuing education, options that help with practice management. That continuing education that can help to keep you up to date with information from relevant professional experts, that's an important value added that CRNAs are not exposed to from other professional liability companies. So I think that's a huge value. And also the customer service that's available to answer questions at any time a provider would have it when you work with TDC, I think that's a huge value add because that's not available with all professional liability companies. Those things are extremely important to make sure CRNAs know.
That's great. And we do have a couple of minutes here. I wanted to ask you, Dr. Chambers, you talked a lot about students in practice. What's the biggest piece of advice that you'd like to give student CRNAs as they prepare to graduate and enter medical care?
Well, I think it's really important for students to know that as they enter their new profession, that they have a different level of responsibility than what they had when they were ICU nurses. They won't be able to rely on another provider making decisions that'll be responsible for the care that they give. They need to understand that no matter what someone else tells them, they are responsible for their acts because they're going to be credentialed as a licensed independent provider. It doesn't have anything to do with the particular practice or reimbursement setting of your facility. All CRNAs are educated and trained according to the same Council on Accreditation requirements. So students entering the new profession must understand the importance of being responsible for their own practice. There's no one else to rely on or fall back on regarding decisions for your patient and for your care. So it's really important to understand that responsibility that they will have and to protect themselves appropriately with their decisions regarding professional liability insurance.
Dr. Chambers, do you have any closing statements or anything else that you'd like to add before we close out for today?
I think the final thing I would just say is to understand how important it is to know about your practice, your role. It goes beyond understanding what was important the day after you graduated. You had all that book knowledge the day after you graduated. Now is the time to make sure that you have continuing education regarding the role and the setting and the types of patients that you're going to care for. There are responsibilities of any CRNA for your setting, for your patients, for the types of surgery that you're going to be working on. And you're responsible for for what you're going to do in that specific role. You can't rely on only what you knew when you graduated. You have to stay continually abreast of evidence-based guidelines, evidence-based research, and what's appropriate for your setting, your resources, your role. So that's probably what I'd like to leave with.
Okay, awesome. This just came up as a thought that I had. I know that January is CRNA week. Because we have some time, is there any chance we could throw together a statement where we're just acknowledging CRNA week, thanking them for their commitment to patient care and advancing patient safety? Again, I'm rolling off the rip here. I know I'm putting a lot on you, but I just looked at the clock, and if we can get something in there for CRNA week for next year, I'd love to do that. And what I can do is let me see what we did last year. We might just be able to reuse it, because then I could just give you that by email and you could read it off.
Yeah, that'd be helpful, because there's so many different settings and so many different things that are important depending on where
sure.
people work.
No, I totally understand that. I'm ready when you are.
Certified registered nurse anesthetists deliver exceptional care at some of the most critical moments in medicine. We're proud to honor CRNAs this week for their commitment to safety, excellence, and advancing the standards of anesthesia practice.
It sounded great to me.